prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
All right, thank you. We thank you for coming this morning, finding the pavilion. That's not easy. So we will pray and then we will expound the scriptures. Gracious and heavenly, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet together and those will give a word of testimony for their appreciation for what you did on Calvary's cross. Where would we be without you is a wonderful question to ask and a very fearful one. I ask that you be with us this morning as we worship you, as we sing, as we pray, as we think about the things we need to, and as we hear a message out of that word. Thank you for allowing me to bring a message. I'm still overwhelmed at the honor you have by letting me preach your word. Be with us, all those who are sick among us and due for operations and that sort of thing. We just ask that your will be done in every case and that we be the people you would have us to be. In Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. The apostasy is the falling away, the great falling away that will take place in the church. You can see it now. It's already in the world greatly. And when somebody asks me a question, by the question they ask, don't let this keep you from asking questions, because we're glad to answer any that we can. But by what somebody says in their question, I can pretty well gauge how much they know about the Bible. And so I said, those folks have been to a good preacher somewhere. They've been in a good church somewhere that preached the Bible. Very few people will ask about the apostasy, and a great deal more don't even know what it is. We won't ask for a show of hands, but probably many of you have never heard about the great apostasy. And the apostasy is the falling away from the faith. And we are in the state now, in the final state of the apostasy. Jesus says, will I even find the faith on the earth when I come? And that is a very, very scary sentence, isn't it? Will I even find the faith on the earth, he said? Which means it can only get worse than it is now. And as I mentioned last Sunday, they interviewed 1,000 pastors from somewhere. And only half of them believed in the virgin birth. Half of them believed in the deity of Christ. Half of them believed the Bible was inspired. I mean, it's going downhill quick. And when you're paying a preacher to preach the Bible, and laughingly people will ask me, well, what you going to preach Sunday? I'm going to say, I'm going to preach the Bible. And if you show up down there, you'll find out which part. You don't need anything else to preach from but the Bible. The Bible says that, gives you instructions to preachers to do. It said, preach the word in season, out of season, right? I don't know when word season is, but in and out covers everything, doesn't it? So you preach the word all the time. And people learn little by little. It's just very difficult to be a preacher because you got a PhD over here learning on that level. And then you got a guy just got saved on this level over here and he finished the fourth grade. Now, how do you reach both of them? What kind of words do you use? How do you frame, structure your sermons? What do you do? So it becomes quite the thing. So finally you learn, and you're my age, that you preach the word and the word will take care of itself. people will understand through the help of God. Most preachers don't believe that anymore. When you get ready to preach a sermon, they say, well, how do you know what to preach? I said, well, you ask God to help me to find the right scriptures that you'd have me expound this morning. And I may do that Monday, and I may do it late Saturday night. It depends on what he's given me during the week. And he'll always lead me to something. And then I'll find out that it's just what somebody needed. But the apostasy is the great falling away of the Christian faith. That means a preacher's not preaching the truth. Kids aren't getting the truth. 75 to 80% of our children from Christian homes, from Bible-believing church homes, lose their faith when they get to college. Something wrong with that. And what's wrong with it? They didn't learn their basics. They didn't learn their basics. I used to love Vince Lombardi. He built a dynasty, Green Bay Packers, and I mean, they just do what they were doing, and they would do it to you if you went to Green Bay. But every season, every start of in the summer when they start practice, he would start by getting in front of all the players, holding up a football and saying, this is a football. I mean, you can't get more fundamental than that, can you? If you're going to coach football, that's a good place to start. Everybody in there was paid $1 million several times over to be there. They knew what a football was, or they were supposed to know. He wanted to make sure. So he made sure that they knew, and that's what's wrong with the church today. Preachers want to be orators, and they think they have to have something new, and they have something new going on at church, and that's why you'll see people, oh, y'all need to go here. They're preaching so-and-so. Oh, you need to go over there. Their teeth are being filled with gold. You need to go over here. You won't believe what gets people to be church hoppers. And find yourself a preacher that preaches the gospel and stay with him. Listen, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. And so the great apostasy is preaching and the church falling away from the scriptures. It's exactly what it is. That's what's wrong. We have a group today of young people who don't know right from wrong. For they were brought up, told, and there is no right and wrong. That everything just is, and whatever happens, that's what happens. That's not so. You know it's not so. I know it's not so. Down deep inside, they know it's not so. But this is the world we live in. How terrible. And we are wound up in a religious war with a bunch of people who want to worship a God that does not exist. They give him a name that has nothing to do with his name. The name of the one God is Yahweh. It's Jehovah. That's who God is. There's no gods beside me. Read the book of Isaiah. It tells you plain and simple. 2,000 years ago. Right? There's no God beside me, he says. There's no God but me, he says. And there'll be no gods after me, he says. Yet we got thousands of religions, and I hear people make the mistake all the time saying, well, he's praying to his God. Well, he might as well pray to a Pepsi Cola because nobody's there to hear it. And nobody's there to answer it. And you say, well, now you shouldn't talk about somebody else's religion. Religion has sent more people to hell than anything that was ever invented. Please understand that. Religion is man's idea of what God should do instead of reading it here. Instead of finding out here. And that's the position we're in. We're in the final days. It's the close of the age. We don't know if it'll be in the next few days, in the next few years. But the last days that you'll read in Scripture, you will find the last days started with Jesus. He started the last days. How about that? That's something. So a lot have gone by since he was here. But you see, God doesn't wear a wristwatch. He doesn't go by our time. Bible says a thousand years to him is like a day passing. He doesn't register things like you and I. A long time to us is 30 days. Then the rent's due again, right? So we can, and it goes so fast. I don't know how they speeded it up. The older I got, the time went faster. Does it you? I mean, boy, I'll get through here today, and a couple of days later, I ain't going to be saying what you're going to preach on. And I'm saying, wait a minute. Didn't I just get through preaching? And you can't believe how fast time goes as you get older. I don't know why, but it does. And you young folks, we don't have many here. Some of you think you're young, but you're not. They don't understand the passing of time like that. So in the third chapter of Revelation, that's the last book in the Bible, you know, we're going to read verse 15, we'll read. And this is the message to Laodicea, the church at Laodicea, and it's about the final days of the apostasy. These are words of Jesus. He's telling them what's going to happen and what's going on. And at verse 14 we'll start, and he said, "And the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen," Amen is Jesus, "the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." That doesn't mean Jesus was created like some people who knock on your door will falsely tell you. That means he is the beginning of all of it. He did the creation. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm," and lukewarm means there is the temperature of vomit, "and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." So the Lord knows as the apostasy grows what's happening, and that a lot of churches are meeting on a social level, and that's the end of it. "Because thou sayest, I'm rich," this somebody said is the United States in the Bible. I said, yeah, I'll read it to you. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." That's what a nation is without God. Without the true God. That's the true picture, you see. And he said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire," truth, "that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed," that stands for righteousness, "and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. And anoint thine eyes with salve, that thou mayest see." Interesting enough, Laodicea, the city of Laodicea, was a salve center. Say that 10 times. They made salve there, manufacturing plants, and they were famous for medicinal salve. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Now we find in that verse 20 what we're going to preach about today. This is the place of the attitude of the church age. And this, if you remember, there was a famous artist. I don't fail to know his name. Maybe Jack or somebody knows. He painted a portrait. I'm sure it hangs in one of the museums of art somewhere worth millions of dollars. And it's the master artist has painted his rendition, what he thought Jesus would look like, standing at the door of a little cottage. And you don't see the whole thing. You just see the door and the little window, and you can see into the house that there's a little light, and then there's growths around the door, ivy, you know, just a pretty little scene. And Jesus is standing and knocking at the door. And the artist who painted that beautiful masterpiece finished it and wanted to show one of his friends his work and get his comment on it. And so he had him over and he said, "I want you to see this, what I've been working on." And he showed him, and his friend said, "Yes, it's absolutely beautiful, a wonderful work of art, but you forgot one thing." And he said, "What?" He said, "There's no doorknob to open the door." He said, yes, this is painted from a scripture point of view. You got to open the door from the inside. So what he's talking about here, when he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, then that is Jesus standing there at the door of your house, at the door of your business, at the door of your mind, at the door of your heart, knocking, wanting in. But being a perfect gentleman, he's not going to kick down the door or try to slip in some way. You must come and open the door and invite him in. That is up to you. You have to make that decision. He's there, and when he's saying, behold, what he's saying, have a look. Look out here. Look out your door. Who do you see? I'm standing right on your door threshold. Just look for me. I am always there. I'm there now. I'll always be there. I'm omnipresent, which of course means everywhere. God's everywhere at the same time. And he is at your door, knocking on the door of your heart, saying, please let me in. The troubles that you have, I can cure. The sickness that you have, I can handle. The problems that come your way, call on me and read my word and do it my way, and I'll be there to help you if you will but open the door. I am here for your help 24/7. Why don't you call on me? Strange, isn't it, that people don't? That they'll call on everything, the Ouija board. You had one of those as a kid, didn't you? Where the craziness, I never did figure out what they're trying to do. But they had a Ouija board, and then on the other side, they had the checkers. You could make a pool table out of it because it had little nets in the corner. Did you have one? If there is one in your house, get it out. It's a source of demons and demonology. And if you don't believe that, burn it in your backyard and watch it. Just watch that thing burn. Very few people have understood that. It's demons. You see, we don't recognize demons anymore because that isn't pleasant to talk about. Preachers don't preach demons anymore because that's a little, you know, that's a little mythology, isn't it? No. They're fallen angels. They work for Satan, and they're everywhere, and they're great and powerful, and they are not to be fooled with or not to be taken lightly. I don't know if the devil ever attacks you at night while you're sleeping or a demon does. Happens to me quite regularly. It's not because I'm weird. It's because I preach gospel. They don't like that, and they won't let you sleep. And they'll aggravate you, and there you'll be, tossing and turning, as the old rhythm and blues song goes, tossing and turning, do-do-do-do-do-do. And you cannot go to sleep, bother you to death. And I said, well, I'll fix that. I know how to fix that. Well, what you going to do, shout at him? You can't scare him. He'll tear you to pieces. I know that. Well, you can't even see him. Which direction you going to shout in? I said, well, I'm not interested in shouting anything. Well, how are you going to get rid of a powerful demon if he wants to aggravate you? I said, my Bible tells me at the name of Jesus, the devil will flee. There's a difference in running and fleeing, right? Running is being at the wrong house at the wrong time. And a car drives up in the driveway, right? That's running. I got to get out of here. Fleeing is when she says, my husband's home. That's fleeing. World of difference, isn't it? Difference in the two. Those of you who have been in that situation are the ones that laughed for those who didn't. They've been there. There's a world of difference in that, see? And so I just say, we're going to start. Jesus. Demon got in my car one time. My wife died, and we were in Winston-Salem, and she went home to be with the Lord. And Ann's best friend was my wife. They're going to talk about that before I get to heaven. I've asked the Lord to get them up there first. So I'm driving back to Greenville, South Carolina, through the mountains of North Carolina up there, and all of a sudden something gets in the car. Didn't see nothing. Have you ever been in a place and the back of your neck, the hair just stood up, and you didn't know why? It just stood up, and you knew something was wrong. You didn't know what it was, but you knew something was going on. Well, I'm driving, and I'm sad, and Donnie is today, you're glad your loved one's in heaven, but still you miss them. And I'm sitting there thinking about my wife, and I didn't say why me, what happens to a lot of people. They were going along, and I'm trying to sing a hymn or two and crying and praying, and all of a sudden hair stands up on the back of my neck. And I thought, okay. Before you get started, I know who you are. I'm talking out loud, right? That I know who you are. I know where you're from. I don't know if you're the devil yourself or you're one of his emissaries. I don't know, but I know who you are and what you're up to. And it's no use for you to start. I know what you're going to say. God don't love you. He let your wife die of cancer. Why he heals other people? Why didn't he heal her? I know what you're going to do. Why, you a preacher. You mean he don't even care for his own preacher? Don't even go there. I know what you're going to say. But see, I know you come from the father of lies. And you know how to do nothing but lie. And all you're going to do is to lie to me and try to get me all worked up. And if I can, say something ugly about God. And I'm going to tell you now, I'm not going to do it. Because the scripture says, at the name of Jesus, you have to flee. So you make yourself comfortable, Bubba, because I'm going to start now until you go. I'm driving. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I think you're crazy. A friend of mine followed me when we stopped up the road. He said, what in the world were you doing? And I told him, he said, I thought so. And I kept on a good 5 minutes at least. And all of a sudden, gone. Didn't see anything. Wasn't nothing left in the seat. Just gone. Hair got all right. I'm feeling good. Said, thank you, Lord. We better stop and get a cheeseburger and celebrate that. Okay. So we stopped in Nashville and got us something to eat. See, don't tell me that book ain't right. Too many experiences. And if you're saved and you know the Lord and troubles really come upon you, understand the devil causes the problem. Our country won't admit that. See, if we just say, Muslims, guess what? You're a religion, and your religion will send you to hell. You have no God. You have no salvation. You have no help. And we are Christians. We're a Christian nation, and we're going to refute you and rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch things change. But we're not going to do that. It may offend somebody. I'm not trying to offend them. I'm trying to kill them. See? Oh, well, isn't that awful? No, they're trying to kill me. See? And the president called me a liar for being what does he call us? Excessive or whatever it is. And that's a bad name for Christians. Now, see, they're going to try to make us look as bad as we can. We're awful. We are the fundamentalists. Let me ask you a question. If you got somebody cooking you a cake, would you rather have a fundamental baker, one that follows the recipe, or somebody just did what they thought felt good? I don't want one that would say, well, salt looks a lot like sugar. It says 2 cups. I'll just use salt. No, thank you. I get on an airplane. I still don't know how those big ones fly. Do you? 747s. How in the world do they fly? And I've been on them wondering how they flew. and we I want a pilot with a little gray in his hair. Right? I want some wrinkles in his face. I want that guy with his hat all bent up that he's had the same hat for several years. I want that one that's been through some thunderstorms. I want someone that's landed without the landing gear coming down properly. Right? That's who I want at the wheel of that thing. You take the new pilot. You have him. He going to throw his hands up when the lightning comes. See? And we're at his mercy. I don't want that. I want somebody who teaches the fundamentals of the faith. Tell me what Jesus said. Tell me what God said to do. I'm going to have to spend eternity with him, not you. I'm going to have to spend eternity with the Lord God Almighty, not some theologian. Isn't it interesting to you? It wears me out. I study a great deal. And it just wears me out to be informed of these new theologians that come along 2,500, 3,000 years after the fact, telling us, well, I just don't think that happened. Why don't you ask the people who were there and saw it happen? They've written it down. How many times did the Bible say we were there? This is an eyewitness report. We saw such and such. We heard such and such. We felt him by the feet after he resurrected. We saw him eat a fish sandwich when he came through the locked door. Don't tell us he didn't resurrect. We were there. I don't need somebody 3,000 years later telling me that didn't happen. They don't even have any facts. They have nothing but an idea in their head. And how sad that they'll gather up in that great theological room in hell, talk about, gee, we must have been wrong. Yeah, you are. So he says, behold, I'm present. Look at me. Look out the window. I'm at your door. I stand at the door and knock. So what's he telling you here? He's waiting. He didn't just knock and say, well, guess they're not home. You've done that to some folks, hadn't you? And we've all done that when the wrong bill collector came. He'd be quiet. He'll think we're not home. And then he leaves. And or somebody we really didn't want to see. Beaver. I said, shut up, Ann. I know who that is. Don't answer the door. You see? And so he says, look, I stand at the door and knock. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. He's told you I'm present. I'm always at your door. Door your heart, door your home. And I'm standing here. I've made my stand. I'm not going anywhere. No use to ignore me. I am here. And I'm standing just waiting for you to ask me to help you. Why won't you ask? Like Obama, he can't say Islam. I mean, you know, a man's highly intelligent, a law professor, and can't say Islam. So he said, I stand at the door and knock. I'm not just going to stand here hoping somebody sees me. See? I'm not slipping up on your porch saying, boy, I hope he sees me one way or another. Finally opens the door. I hope somebody gets a glimpse of me out the window, comes to the door and looks out the door just to see how the weather's doing, and behold, I'm standing there. No, I'm going to let you know I'm there. And here he goes. Just like he does you when you're getting ready to do something you shouldn't be doing. And you know it, and he knows it, and he starts this. And you say, you know who's knocking. You know who's letting you know something. You know it's the Lord. Say, don't do that to me. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stand here till you recognize me, and I'm going to knock if you don't until you hear me, hopefully. But there will come a time when I quit knocking. And you never know when that time is. That used to worry me. A fellow came to my daddy one time. I was standing with him doing something in the yard, and a fellow drives up, and he said, Preacher Greenway. He said, yes, and talked a little bit. He said, by the way, I want you to go with me to Woodruff, and I want you to talk to my brother.
see if we can get him saved. He said, wait a minute, didn't we already do that? And he said, yeah. He said, as a matter of fact, didn't we go twice? And he said, yeah. He said, I'm sorry, I'm not going again. I mean, that guy was in total shock. And maybe you are too. Read what the Bible says. After the first and second admonition, let him go. I mean, that's book preaching, right? And anybody, that's why we tell them it's a danger to come in these doors. Because you come in these doors and hear me preach, you are going to hear that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, died on Calvary's cross and shed his blood for your sins and mine. And if you accept him, you have eternal life. But if you reject him, you go into hell. And you will hear that every Sunday, one way or another. Why? Because that's the gospel. And that leaves you without excuse. And never again, after you leave and go through those doors, can you say, I didn't know, nobody told me, I never had the opportunity to be saved. This is so unfair because I'm a better man than Hitler and I'm a better man than my neighbor. Nobody cares what kind of man you are. As who was it a while ago? Somebody said, I got you, Donnie. I was a bad boy. It was Donnie that said it, and he was. We can all verify for that. It was Don too. They were both the same mess. It don't matter. And so was I. And but he's I got one of my best friends in the world, and we're trying to get him saved. And last time I talked to him, and he was in a conversation with me and another friend of ours, and he said, "But I was such a bad boy," kind of bragging, you know. Said, I was a bad boy. I said, let me help you. It doesn't matter what you were. It matters who he was. It has very little to do with you. Nothing at all, as a matter of fact. It's what he is, who he is, and what he did. It's up to you to accept or reject that. That's your only part. Not hard, not difficult, and if you reject him, it's because of your ignorance. You didn't do any research. You never read the Bible. You never concerned with whether it was Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad or Howdy Doody. Who is it I'm to follow? People will get on us. Well, y'all don't have many people as you used to. I said, that's probably my fault. I run a lot off. Well, why do you do that? I don't mean to. I preach the gospel, and a lot of people can't take the truth. Scares them, embarrass them. Well, I don't want to hear about that. I went to church to be uplifted. You better worry about what happens when you get lowered, not when you lift it. We're preparing for the uppertaker, not the undertaker. Okay? So he said, if any man hear my voice. Now, I'm out the door. I told you I'd always be there. I'm standing there. You can't miss me. And I'm knocking to let you know I'm there. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. So it's up to you to open the door, isn't it? That's why there's no such thing as universal salvation. There's people who preach there is. Everybody will be saved just on different levels. No, they won't. No, they won't. You have to accept Christ. You have to open the door. You have to turn your will to accept him for who he is or reject him. I like to watch Bill Riley, and I'd like to get on there someday and talk to Brother Bill because he thinks he's saved. He's a Catholic. You can be saved and be a Catholic, but being a Catholic won't make you saved. But I heard him not 2 months ago. He said, I go to church. I go to communion. I have a good priest and a good church I go to. And I believe the Bible. I believe what they say. I just can't go along with the deity of Christ. Fine, then you get to go to hell. Do what? I said, you get to go to hell. Well, where does the Bible say that? John 8:24. Never forget it. The Jews are throwing rocks at Jesus, getting ready to stone him. And he said, why are you going to hit me with a rock? What'd I do? Is it for my rock? Is it for my works? Is it for the miracles I do? Is it for these things that I do that you're stoning me? And they said, no, it's not for your works that we stone you. And he said, well, then why are you stoning me? And they said, because you've made yourself equal to God. And he said, that's right. Listen real careful. If you do not believe that I am, that means the great I am, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Isn't something I made up? Something Jesus said. That's warning enough, is it not? And if you'd seen the things he did, I think you'd be a little bit closer to him, as would I. So he said, open the door. He's pleading with them. Open the door. Please open the door. It's getting late. Open the door. And you look in the mirror, and you look same as you did yesterday. But when somebody who knew you 20 years ago happens to bump into you, they don't think you look the same. After you gone, they tell Margaret, Bill looking old, isn't he? Yes, he is. Why? Because he is old. That's why. His next big event is his funeral. Like you and like me. I don't go to many weddings anymore. Go to a lot of funerals. People my age aren't having many weddings. They're dying. See? And so this is what happens. He said, I'm going to open my door. And he said, if you'll open my door, he pleads with you, I will come in to him, he said. Now, did he say, I'll come in to anybody except thieves? Anybody except murderers? Anybody except Muslims? Anybody except rapists? He put did nothing after that. I will come into him. All are eligible. He will come into any heart that will open the door and let him in. Anybody. He'll come in for Hitler, for Mussolini, for anybody else, Genghis Khan. Anybody in the world who had ever sinned, if they open the door of their heart and say, Lord, I repent and I believe in you. Please forgive my sin. He says, I'm in. He's in. What a God. What other religion in the world offers that, by the way? Dead one, is he? I'll come into him and he will spend time with him. He promises that. And will sup with him and he with me, meaning he will provide for you. And he will provide for the man he comes in and overtakes. I'm constantly amazed how the Lord provides for me and Aaron. Through you. You say, well, it's not important that I go to church. Yes, it is. I saw that on Fox News the other day. I'm not mad at them. I like them a lot. But they said, some guy, you know, they answer the questions on Friday. They get to send in. He said, I'm not religious, but I'm very spiritual. And I wanted to answer him. So's a witch doctor. Right? A witch doctor's very spiritual. He'll light up the candles and the smoke goes up and walks around the hut and chews the right leaf and puts it over your head. And he's very spiritual. But the spirits he's talking to won't help you. They will damn you. They will damn you. And Jesus said, look, I will come in there and I'll sup with you, I'll eat with you, I'll provide for you, and I'll make promises to you, and all of them will come true. Aren't you glad God didn't answer a lot of your prayers the way you wanted Him to? Boy, I am. All I got to do is get out the high school annual. Yeah, Lord, I hope she's as happy without me as I am without her. Right? Because your vision's a little bit different when you're 17 and 18, isn't it? Yeah. And we find out we have somebody in one little verse that said, I'm always present. I'm always waiting on you. I'm always seeking you. I'm always pleading for you. I want to share my promises and tell you what they are. And I want to provide for you, and you won't open the door. What's wrong with you? Don't you know it must be disgusting to God for people to hear preachers on the radio and television and a lot of churches they go to never talk about heaven, never talk about hell, never preach from the Bible, never give an invitation? Why do they go? Why bother? You have nothing. If you're not offering salvation, why do you call yourself a church? There's 60 charities in Myrtle Beach that'll feed people. If you're just going and we're happy when you bring a can of beans or whatever you bring to feed the little children, we give that too. And we thank you for that. Do more of it. God bless you. But that's not the reason you're here. The reason you're here is find out about salvation. I was glad as a little boy. I was a little boy one time. I was a little fella. And my brother's 3 years older than me. He got all the brains and everything. I got leftovers. And he made A's in preschool, you know, got a master's degree. And I told my daddy, did you get any awards? I said, yeah, I graduated O-Laude. Yeah, no, I wasn't too smart. But as a little bitty boy, they had me in the pen. Did you have a pen when you were little? That bed with the rails around it? And they'd put you in jail there. And they'd give you a toy to play with and a biscuit to eat, and you're supposed to be happy. But you in jail. You don't know it, but you are in jail. So there I am in jail one night, and I got the rods there. And it was storming outside, and that tree, you know, the tree and the snowman in the ad you see on TV now, those snowmen look like, and that big tree comes down on that kid in the car, only he can see it. Yeah, well, I could see it, and the tree, it was a monster, man. It was coming for me. And I grabbed the bars there, and I'm shaking. Ra-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And my mama hears it, and naturally, like mamas will do, like daddies will do, go see what's wrong with him. Mama's come, you know. And so here they are. What's wrong, baby? And I'm crying, and she said, buddy, what's wrong, darling? And I said, I'm scared. I said, well, what are you scared of? He said, well, I was at the tent tonight and heard daddy preaching about hell. And it scared me. And I don't want to go there. And she said, honey, you don't have to go there. And told me the story of Jesus. And so I become a little Christian. And that was good. And then my fears were alleviated. And I went and grew into faith. And now I know a little something about it. And God can take a little scared fella to tell other people they don't have to be scared either. Now, my brother's totally different. He hears my daddy preach. He comes home. Mother, yes. I hear daddy talking about the way. And I want to know what the way is. So she's have a seat. She's explains the way to get saved to my brother. He agrees to that, he's saved that way. Intellectually, I'm saved by fear. Either way works, because the Bible sums it up real easy. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter if you find him intellectually, if you find him because you're scared of going to hell. Just find him. Well, where is he? I just told you where he is. He's right outside your door. All you have to do is open it and invite him in. What a God. What a Savior. Boy, isn't it promising to know that you know him. So as we sing and pray, if you've never done that, where you sit, just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. No use getting out the list. No use of me telling you how rotten I was. You already know. But I want all that wiped away, please. I want the blackboard erased. And I want the page you look at when trying to find out my sins. And there's nothing there but red. And I ask an angel, what is this sheet? It's nothing but red. And the angel said, that's your blood, sir. His sins are covered by your blood. You will find no fault in him. I said, amen. That's what they said about Jesus when they brought him to trial. Yeah. What's wrong with this man? They said, we've asked everybody. And we can find no fault in this man. And that's who wants to save you. And if you've never done that this morning where you sit, just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. You know it. I know it. I want my sins forgiven. I came in this place lost, and I want to leave saved. I want to know without a shadow of a doubt, if I drop dead on the way out, that I'll not hit the ground before I see your face. For absent from the body is present with the Lord to those who know him. So if you've never done that, do that today. It'll be the happiest start of your eternal life. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is that we can take one short verse, sometimes almost meaningless to most people when you read over it. I mean, how much can you get out of three or four sentences? But we see it's a call to salvation. We see that it's a call to be yours. It's a call to have you in our house, in our mind, in our heart. It's a call to let you care for us so freely and wonderfully, and for us to know without a shadow of a doubt we're children of God. Be with anybody here, anybody watching by the computer, that this invitation is for them too. And all they have to do is call on the name of the Lord, and they too shall be saved. Thank you for those who came out this morning here in the weather and in the obstructions they have to go through to get here. And we just thank you that we have a place to preach and that we do have faithful people who come and faithful people who pray for us and faithful people who support the ministry, that we can go on. And in a world that's gone mad and gone crazy, that we can stand tall and say, I worry not, I have a Savior, and his name is Jesus. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what have today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner.